You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, July 20th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for the next 2 hours of news, interviews, views, music, stats, analysis, opinion, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. It's another great summer week of legalization 2015, and looking forward to 2016 as well. Lots of big things happening, and we're looking forward to all of it. Coming up this week on the show, we'll be speaking to Mary Lou Burton. She's hosting the Cannabis Creative Creative Conference. Boy, I wanted to say concepts for some reason. Cannabis Creative Conference that's taking place next week on Wednesday and Thursday at the Portland Expo Center. We will be there next week at the Portland Expo Center, tabling with Portland Normal and bringing you recordings of interviews with various vendors and movers and shakers that'll be there at the conference. So next Wednesday and Thursday, no live shows, as well as next Friday, because I've got to drive back to Idaho. Yes, the red state where I'm a criminal just for the contents of my blood, because it's my 30-year class reunion. That's right, 30 years ago, this summer, I was, I had graduated high school, but 30 years ago now, I was smack dab in the middle of basic training at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Live Aid had just happened a few dozen miles away from me. So that gives you an idea how old I am. 30 years ago, graduating from Nampa High School, home of the Bulldogs. So I'll be making my way back there next week as well. So next week, just Monday and Tuesday shows. But this week, we've got shows all week long. Hemp Day Hump Day is coming up on Wednesday as well. So we'll get to talk with Doug Fine about what's happening in industrial hemp. But on today's show, all sorts of stuff to cover. In the Radical Rant today, we're going to take a look at the Stoners Against Legalization Part 4, A New Dope. That's right. It's happening again in California, the place that began Stoners Against Legalization. Well, it's happening again for 2016. We'll tell you all about that. Also on the show today, we've got to go back to the archives because unfortunately Dr. Mitch can't join us today. There's been a death in his family, and so we'll be bringing a recording of Dr. Mitch from one of our previous episodes where he talks about the risk of crash in automobiles for people that are marijuana consumers. Also on the show today, we'll have time for some reefer madness debunking. Boy, usually these days it's hard to find someone who's got that real reefer madness, that real Harry J. Anslinger, Nancy Reagan style reefer madness. But we found one today in the forum of a reverend from Ohio explaining why Ohio would be so much worse off if they passed marijuana legalization. In behind the headlines today, we're going to talk about the Seattle Police Department and their complaints about the complaints that they're writing too many pot consumption tickets to black people. We'll talk about that, but first we start with the 420 radio news. And speaking of Ohio, Ohio legalization is on the rocks. We'll tell you about that. Washington State has banned open marijuana containers. My representative Earl Blumenauer wants to expunge certain marijuana offenses. Marijuana, it could heal broken bones. People in Illinois displaced by a tornado helped out by a medical marijuana businessman. And not so fast on that Jimmy Kimmel pot-related ad in Denver. The details are all coming up next in the 420 Radio News. You're listening to me. I'm Russ Belville.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Out there in Salem, man. You know what it is, man. DJ Slowpoke representing the Bay Area, man. You rock it. 420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that define the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 20th, 2015. The Responsible Ohio petition drive to put marijuana legalization in front of voters this year fell about 30,000 signatures short, Ohio's Secretary of State said Monday. The group now has 10 days starting Tuesday to make up the difference to qualify for the November 3rd ballot. Responsible Ohio, however, says thousands of signatures in Hamilton and Lucas counties were invalidated for unknown reasons. The organization's leader said Responsible Ohio will take its case to the Ohio Supreme Court later this month to challenge the invalidations. Despite Monday's count, the Responsible Ohio effort so far has collected the widest, broadest support for marijuana legalization in state history. Secretary of State John Husted also announced Monday that the proposal met another important election test by gaining the necessary threshold number of signatures in 73 of Ohio's 88 counties. Responsible Ohio submitted a total of 695,273 signatures, with 276,082 validated, a rate of less than 40%. A new Washington state law bans open containers of marijuana in vehicles starting September 26th. The new law means loose joints, open bags of bud, or partially consumed packages of pot-infused edibles must be kept in a vehicle's trunk or behind its rearmost row of seats. The Washington Traffic Safety Commission pushed for the change so that the state's rules governing marijuana would more closely resemble those for alcohol. State law already prohibits unsealed or partially consumed containers of alcohol in the passenger cabin of a vehicle. House Bill 1276 also makes several changes to the state's impaired driving statutes. It restores the Department of Licensing's ability to automatically suspend a person's driver's license if a blood test shows he or she is legally impaired by marijuana. Oregon Representative Earl Blumenauer announced plans to introduce legislation reinforcing steps taken by his state to legalize and provide a clean start for certain marijuana offenses. The Clean Slate for Marijuana Offenses Act of 2015, to be introduced on Tuesday in Congress, creates a pathway for the following two groups of federal marijuana offenders to expunge their marijuana offense: those who were federally charged for activity that was state legal at the time, and those whose offense was the possession of an ounce or less of marijuana. There's yet another use for marijuana. It may help to heal broken bones, according to a new study.
Researchers found that cannabidiol improved the healing process in rats with broken leg bones after 8 weeks, according to a study published in the Journal of Bone and Mineral Research by Tel Aviv University and Hebrew University. Yankel Gabbett of Tel Aviv's Bone Research Laboratory, who led the study, said it found that the element makes bones stronger during healing, which could prevent future fractures. This process occurs as cannabidiol, or CBD, enhances the maturation of collagen, the protein in connective tissue that holds the body together. Quote, after being treated with CBD, the healed bone will be harder to break in the future, end quote, Gabbett said in a news release. These findings open doors to how marijuana could treat osteoporosis and other bone-related diseases, the researchers say. People who lost their homes when a tornado roared through their central Illinois town last week received help from a new neighbor, the top executive of a medical marijuana growing company. Delavan Mayor Liz Skinner said Sunday that Revolution Enterprises CEO Tim McGraw is paying for hotel rooms for residents displaced by Thursday night's tornado. More than 50 homes were damaged as the tornado, which reached wind speeds of 120 miles per hour, tore a one-mile path through the community of 1,700 residents. 9 homes were declared uninhabitable, the mayor said. No one was killed in the twister, which also took down trees, garages, and grave markers at a cemetery. The National Weather Service rated its strength as EF2, a significant tornado on a scale that goes from EF0 to EF5. Families ousted by the tornado are appreciative of McGraw's offer of rooms at the hotel in nearby Pekin. The alternative was cots set up at the American Legion Hall by Red Cross, the mayor said. Denver ABC affiliate KMGH has put a hold on its plan to air the first marijuana-related TV spots. Friday, we reported that KMGH would air the first cannabis-related spot tonight, just after Jimmy Kimmel Live. According to the Denver Post, lawyers for their parent company are now looking things over. The spots don't mention or show cannabis and would air after the late news. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 20th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Today in Behind the Headlines, we take a look at a piece from the Seattle Times that says, Seattle Police Department Chief asks council, stop writing $27 pot tickets or not? It's an interesting situation. In Washington state, of course, they've legalized marijuana, but the public consumption of marijuana still remains a ticketable offense. And as noted, it's a $27 ticket, one of the lowest or perhaps the lowest amount ticketed for marijuana possession of any major American city or, for that matter, any state. But the first set of tickets that were issued after legalization showed that there was a vast disproportionality to the ticketing of people. That is, many more black people were ticketed compared to their population in Seattle. Now, that was also clouded by the fact that 80% of these tickets were written by a single cop, a guy named Randy Jokola, who jokingly referred to the city attorney as Petey Holmes. This was the guy who was flipping a coin to decide which of two people to cite for pot use. I mean, this guy, you know, was kind of a problem. They got rid of this guy, actually moved him to bike patrol work. And that first batch of disproportionate tickets was kind of ignored because of the fact that it was this one guy. You couldn't really peg it. And there were so few tickets actually written. But now there's been another batch of these tickets, and it shows in the second half of 2014, police wrote 27% of their tickets to black people. But black people only make up 8% of Seattle's population. And this is frustrating the Seattle police chief. Her name's Kathleen O'Toole. And she says, quote, when we talk about the demographics, I don't want to sit here and defend any of it. And she's complaining because she says all the tickets are issued downtown, and that's where the complaints come from. She's not getting complaints from other parts of the city. But of course, downtown, you're going to have a higher concentration of black people, and that's why they're getting this higher concentration of blacks in the overall ticketing. She also says, quote, I'm hesitant to send officers to other neighborhoods just to generate enforcement that appears less biased, right? Like send her to the white neighborhoods and, you know, round up some people publicly pot smoking. So, but no one's complaining about that out there. So one of the council members, Mike O'Brien, wants to know, hey, maybe this problem of a complaint-based system is more reflecting the biases of the people calling the system, right? It's like in the white neighborhoods, nobody's calling to complain about the white guys that are smoking pot out on their stoop or on the sidewalk or on a bench somewhere. But downtown in the city core, we've got all of these businesses that want to maintain a certain image. And they start calling in when they see people smoking pot. They're going to call because of who they see. And if they're seeing more black people downtown because it's a downtown core where there's more black people, you can't fault them for being racially biased in their complaint if they're complaining about who they're seeing. Question is, we don't know that, if that's actually what's going on. Or are they just calling when they see the black people smoking, but kind of ignoring it when they see the white people smoking? It's hard to tell. The numbers are very small here. We're talking about 72 tickets. So it's hard to really come up with anything statistically viable to point your finger at. But I would point out that this is a city that's in the middle of a state that recently felonized the operation of an adult consumption lounge. If you want less public consumption, you've got to give the public somewhere to consume. You can't expect that everybody is just going to smoke pot in their house with the drapes closed. There's a lot of people for whom that's not an option, and that can be federally assisted housing, where, of course, any marijuana use is forbidden. And guess how the statistics might skew as far as the demographics of people in federally supported housing? You guessed it, it might skew more toward black people. So if we've got people living places where they can't enjoy their legal right now to smoke marijuana, they're going to enjoy it somewhere that's going to get them busted less. Do I smoke at home where I could lose my home? Or do I smoke out in public where it might be a $27 ticket? And for that matter, the $27 tickets aren't really being paid much at this point either. That's one of the things that the story points out as well. But I think it is just incredibly misguided to continue trying to stop public consumption of marijuana without giving somewhere an outlet, giving people an outlet where they might be able to gather with other people and consume marijuana. To expect us to all just be sitting in our homes with the drapes closed is as ridiculous as legalizing gay marriage and expecting gay people to not have public displays of affection. It's legal or it's not. Come on now.
You're a loony.
Well, that may be true. But come on, I mean, we've got a legal product here. It's as legal, well, it's less legal than alcohol and tobacco, but it's also less harmful than alcohol and tobacco. There's no argument against a legal marijuana lounge that isn't a better argument against bars and cigar lounges. 20 after, be right back.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at noon Pacific for Potstock Radio, podcasting at potstockradio.com. We are the voice of and for the legal marijuana and hemp financial sector. We interview CEOs and leaders of publicly traded companies related to the American and Canadian cannabis industries. Check our online listings for Potstock Radio with Eric, Rye, and Trace from potstockradio.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Oh, today, folks, we get some prime reefer madness. This is some vintage stuff. Hard to believe it's being written and promoted as late as 2015, but it is. It's right here in front of me from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can find it at cleveland.com. The headline is, "Legalizing marijuana in Ohio would open the door to plenty of problems." Yes, we're all in great danger. According to the Reverend Thomas Heron, he's an ordained priest for the Diocese of Cleveland. He's served as a priest at 6 different parishes in Cuyahoga County and is currently pastor of the St. Monica Church in Garfield Heights, where he served since 2005. Now, let's just put aside for the second the idea of Catholic priests lecturing anybody about public safety and morality at this point. I think they should be given like about a one century on probation from any talking about morality. But anyway, let me begin with some of his writing because it's hilarious. Just think, in a few months, the use of marijuana may become legal in Ohio. Did you ever think how this could affect our lives? For example, during the past 30 years, we have demonized smokers. Now we will have a new group to demonize: potheads. Now, he calls smokers and potheads. He uses the air quotes around those. But wait a minute. We have a new group to demonize? I mean, potheads haven't been demonized for the past 30 years already? That's a little weird. He goes on. Won't it be wonderful to know that first responders to handle, I don't know why the air quotes on first responders, to handle crisis in our communities, namely our EMTs, police officers, and firemen, will possibly be more relaxed because of marijuana use when they come to our aid. It really makes one feel safer, doesn't it? So we're going to legalize pot, and suddenly cops, EMTs, and firemen are going to go to work high. What's stopping them from going to work high now is that it's illegal? That's the only thing that's stopping them. Wow. He goes on. Imagine how this could affect our hospitals and medical personnel. Won't it be comforting to know that the surgeon who is operating you just smoked a few joints before the operation? Perhaps using pot, air quotes, will help the nurses and medical staff who assist the doctors to have more fun while they work. And again, it's like, now we've got surgeons and nurses who only because marijuana is illegal, that's the only thing stopping them from getting loaded before they come to work. Now, I tell you, the doctors and the nurses may be loaded, but what they're loaded on is Red Bull and coffee and caffeine and in some cases amphetamines because they're working such long shifts. But not pot, I'm afraid. And wasn't that a commercial? Wasn't that one of my anti-drug public service ads, the surgeon who's all high? Oh my God, this hasn't been unveiled since the 80s. He also says there will be those who will drive under the influence of this legalized drug. The police will have more opportunities to give out traffic tickets for violations. Perhaps there'll be more accidents, enabling repair shops to make more money from repairs and allowing the insurance companies to raise premiums. But we haven't seen that. We've legalized in two states now. See, this kind of scaremongering worked when legalization didn't exist. But now we can look at Washington and Colorado that legalized in 2012. And we've got a couple of years now to look at them, and no, there hasn't been a whole bunch of DUIs. There hasn't been a whole bunch of mayhem on the freeways. He goes on, consider how marijuana use might influence the manufacturing industry. You know, what manufacturing we have left in this country. Factory employees and construction workers might have fun watching their coworkers violate OSHA standards, do stupid things at work, and inflict really good injuries on themselves. Again, the scare quotes on good. I don't know why. But again, if you look at the unemployment rate in Colorado in July 2010, it was 8.8%. The unemployment in Colorado right now is 4.3%. They got half the unemployment they've had over the period of the 5 years that they ramped up their dispensaries and legalized. Partially, because the legalization created a whole bunch of jobs. He continues, another possible effect of marijuana use could be the increase in the number of individuals on welfare because of accidents and job loss. Well, no, more likely because they get tested. They get their piss tested and the metabolites in their urine cost them a job and then they can't get another job and then they might go on welfare. But there's been no data to show an increase of accidents or an increase in any sort of absenteeism or injury owing to marijuana use alone. The big culprit? Fatigue. Fatigue's a big culprit when you want to talk about injuries and accidents. He continues by saying, along the same lines, our hospitals will be able to open more clinics to treat the abusers of legalized marijuana, scare quotes, thereby making the healthcare sector more profitable. No, actually, it works the opposite of that. People who are using marijuana use less opioid painkillers, tend to have lower body mass indices, tend to be healthier people in general. It actually costs the healthcare sector money when you legalize marijuana. He also continues by saying there will always be an illegal drug trade. For the people who legalize marijuana won't get high, they will need more potent drugs, and that will be a new income source for the illegal drug cartels in Latin America. So this is the argument that we need to keep marijuana illegal so that the drug dealers are selling a less harmful drug, because if we give that to legal operators, then the drug dealers will sell more harmful drugs. To who? You can't manufacture demand for coke, meth, and heroin out of thin air. Most marijuana smokers only smoke pot, Father. Oh my God. And of course, you can't end without, what about the children? We know that children will obey their parents' wishes and not use legal marijuana until they're of age, but consider the possibility that they might try it. Won't it be fun for parents to spend time at hospitals, police stations, and courtrooms, getting to share their experiences with other parents? Well, it'll be a little less harrowing than going to the court when your kid was busted with marijuana. He's going to lose his scholarship and might have to serve time and never be able to get a decent job thanks to having to check a box on every application. It's amazing this stuff still gets printed after 3 years of legalization data has proven all of it wrong. We're back with an archive of Dr. Mitch on cannabis and driving right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour on a Monday, and that means it's time we speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Cold but happy.
Cold and happy. Is it still snowed in?
Fortunately, no, but it was in the single digits again today, so we're just trying to stay bundled up.
Oh, my gosh. And me, I was walking in shirt sleeves out here in Portland. It's 60 and sunny. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, folks, get your questions ready in our chat room. We're taking them now, or you can call in to 971-533-7111. But we always give Dr. Mitch the first word to tell us what's the latest in cannabis science.
A veritable plethora in the news today, everything from ADHD to skunk and psychosis, the biology of the munchies, and more professional ratings suggesting marijuana's probably a lot safer than we were told in junior high.
Let's get to that first. That's the one I saw on the Washington Post Wonk blog today, saying marijuana may be even safer than previously thought. What are the details of this study?
What's interesting is this is at least the third attempt to try to sort of rate drugs by their harmfulness, but using relatively different techniques. And on this one, cannabis, of course, is markedly safer than alcohol, heroin, cocaine, tobacco, ecstasy, and meth. But that's really not any surprise to us. But it wasn't the usual approach Bob Gore and I took, or that David Nutt had taken in a comparable study, and still comes to the same conclusion. So I feel like basically this kind of ranking approach, no matter how you do it, seems to come to the same conclusion that marijuana is just not going to be a big problem.
Well, it was interesting. One of the lines in there said that marijuana is 114 times less lethal than alcohol. But, I mean, isn't it infinitely less lethal since you can't die from it?
I mean, in truth, that 114, as big as that sounds, is kind of an underestimate. the occasional, you know, cannabis-induced tachycardia right before a heart attack is getting a lot of play, but compared to alcohol, this drug just doesn't have any association with death at all.
Oh, sorry, we're having some chaos in the studio. Bacon Man has just come in, and Roscoe has gone crazy, so sorry for all the barking in the background. That's our alarm system hard at work. Very low tech here at 420 Radio. Let's get to this next study. This one came out a week or two ago, and it said that there was no link between marijuana and car crash accidents. And this was pretty surprising because, you know, Kevin Sabet tells me we're twice as likely to get in wrecks, and, you know, he wouldn't lie.
Well, unfortunately, Kevin's not on top of the data. But the bottom line here is that, in fact, when you take really good care to check out the national highway statistics for a specific area where people are actually under the influence of marijuana at the time, what a surprise, you see at most a 5% increase in culpability of accidents. And it's just not statistically significant. This was a study of over 3,000 drivers. The crashes were in a 20-month period, so we can't say, oh, hey, the study's not big enough, or there just weren't enough people, or something like that. And lo and behold, we're not getting the kinds of increases anywhere near what you get at blood alcohol concentrations, even at 0.02 or 0.04. And I really feel like, you know, I'm all for a highway sobriety test. If you want to pull me over and have me juggle and ride a unicycle, I'm happy to do it. But just the presence of cannabis in the system is not enough to assume impaired driving.
So what accounts for that statistic that they've been throwing at us for years that we're twice as likely? I mean, they used to say it was from the British Medical Journal. How did they come up with this two times greater risk?
Well, so what was funny was in the early 2000s, they had a big data set based on a couple of different areas, but they were using basically urine screens, so some of the folks weren't high at the time. They also often were confounding alcohol and cannabis and trying to control for that statistically, which just doesn't make any sense from a mathematical standpoint. And so we get this, you know, 12 times as likely, 2 times as likely, and things like that. And in fact, a good epidemiologist, when something is less than twice as big, isn't going to make a huge deal out of that sort of effect. And that was pretty much what we were getting. And it really was statistically significant only because the sample sizes were so huge.
You know, along those lines, we got a question from our chat room asking that we don't have a general roadside impairment test yet. Why not?
Well, what's intriguing is at least some of the roadside sobriety tests that we've used for alcohol can be adapted pretty readily to detect cannabis-related impairments. But the notion that, oh, you're going to, you know, have a sort of breathalyzer-type test the way we have with alcohol just isn't panning out. And I think the science is probably just a little bit behind on that. What I would prefer, of course, is something that correlates with driving ability regardless of the source of impairment. So if you were too tired or if you took a Benadryl or, you know, if you were on anything or under any kind of circumstances where you weren't capable of driving, it would detect it no matter what. And that, you know, regardless of what was in your system, it would just be what is your capability to actually drive.
All right, we've got another study. This one comes from across the pond, and it's warning us that the super potent, hyper, not your father's Woodstock weed skunk is going to cause psychotic episodes. I'm ready to go psycho any moment, Dr. Mitch. Tell me it's not true.
Well, sad but true. The headlines are all saying can cause or things like that, and that just is not a kind of explanation we can make from these data. All these are correlational and correlational alone. We have no idea if folks who are prone to psychosis or just attracted to skunk in the first place, which actually, given some of THC's and CBD's effects, may actually, you know, make some sense. So with this kind of correlational approach, the causal reasoning has got to go out the window. Now, we have seen that, you know, some high-potency THC with no cannabidiol at all in the lab has made people have some psychotic-like experiences, but it's not the same as causing a psychotic disorder. And then what really bothers me is then some sources in the news are saying it's schizophrenia, and this is not schizophrenia at all. Schizophrenia is a really serious syndrome with a whole lot of symptoms, not just the kind of modest magical ideation or delusional thinking that we see in response to THC.
All right. There's one other interesting study that purports to tell us how pot gives people the munchies. I mean, we know it does, but why?
Well, what's curious is this one actually was one of those things where they weren't actually looking for a cannabis-related finding. They were actually trying to understand satiety, how we, you know, feel full. And it led them down this path where they ended up using one of the synthetic cannabis things. And I don't want to make too much of this because it's really not THC they're playing with. They're playing with CB1 agonists that are full agonists that really get those neurons to fire. And what they found was, you know, the poor rodents ate that rodent chow, which can't be particularly appetizing, 3 or 4 times as much as they usually would. Obviously, the mechanism that they proposed are these certain POMC neurons. They actually are usually part of how you stop eating, and so to get them to react in this way was pretty novel and a pretty interesting finding, but it's a few steps away from actual human munchies related to cannabis because it's both a strong CB1 agonist and it's really not people.
All right, and this other story that I found quite interesting had to do with teens who use marijuana who are suffering from ADHD and a computer program that could possibly help them out. This seems pretty complex. Maybe you can break it down for us.
Sure. What they're using here is what's called the NBAC task, which is a way to train your memory to essentially work better, to be able to hold more in your working memory. If you can imagine, Russ, I've got a series of pluses and minuses I'm going to flash on the screen, and I'm going to ask you, what was the symbol 2 before the one you're looking at right now? Obviously, that's going to be pretty tough, but it's something that you would get better at with practice. Folks with ADHD hate this task. I mean, hate it. And they actually do get better. It's unclear if it's going to generalize to paying attention to this task to paying attention in daily life, but there are at least some promising small sample studies that suggest it could improve with this kind of training. Now, the cannabis-using folks, some of the work that my student Mallory has done and some other work suggests that this particular sustained attention issue is one that people who use marijuana in response to ADHD seem to claim marijuana helps with, and so they may be a good target for this kind of training in order to improve their symptoms simply by improving their working memory abilities.
That's really fascinating. You know, I saw a special recently with Penn Jillette, the Vegas entertainer, and he had a nail gun. And if you have a nail gun, they have these strips of nails that are fed into the nail gun, but the nail gun will still fire air if there isn't a nail in one particular hole. And the entire act was a memory act where he has memorized the pattern of nail, nail, no nail, no nail, nail, no nail, nail, you know, and so forth along this strip. It must have been 70 or 80 nails long. And he's holding a nail gun up to his hand and up to people's heads as he's doing this act. And of course, when he pulls the trigger and it's just a hole, no nail comes through. I guess it could also be noted that Penn Jillette has never touched a drug in his life. I don't know if I'd want to try this after my history of using marijuana, Dr. Mitch. Is this something that could help people that even don't have ADHD?
In fact, it's interesting because working memory does improve, and it's curious because you'll find yourself after this kind of training capable of just holding a lot of information in your mind at once in a way that you hadn't, say, 3 months earlier. And it's an intriguing effect, but it's not essential to the kinds of jobs you and I have, Russ. So, I mean, if we're going to start doing performances in Las Vegas, maybe things would be different, or if we want to compete in the Memory Olympics. But otherwise, you know, if you don't have any ADHD symptoms, it's unclear that there's a whole lot of benefit to putting out this kind of effort.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is one of the acknowledged experts on marijuana research. And if you'd like to get in touch with him directly, you can always send him an email at 420research@gmail.com. Have you got any new studies coming up?
In fact, the edibles data that everybody's been so helpful with are finally getting analyzed. And my new grad student, Stacy Farmer, is going to take a close look at those this week. and then we're interviewing our prospective grad students for the following year, so we may be a little slow on the uptake, but I'll get those results out to everybody as soon as I can.
It's got to be a huge list to get on to be Dr. Mitch's grad student, doesn't it?
I got to admit, there are a few people who wanted to make it to interview weekend who aren't going to make it.
Oh, well, good luck to everybody who did make it. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, folks, stay tuned for the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. And following that, we've got time for a radical rant. Understanding the spectrum of getting high. Why is that so important to making sure prohibitionists understand where we're coming from? Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Amendment 2, it's a trick.
It's not about compassion. It just legalizes pot smoking.
It's nuts. No prescription, not just for serious diseases, and not approved by the FDA.
How do they know it's safe? They don't.
Pot would be exempt from medical standards.
Kids can legally get it without their parents' permission.
Amendment 2.
No FDA regulation.
No prescription.
No parental control. How do you stop it? You vote no on 2.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, just in time for the new Star Wars sequel that's coming up this Christmas, we've got Stoners Against Legalization Part 4, A New Dope. That's right. All eyes are on California as the 2016 election looms large. Legalization of marijuana in the Golden State, many observers believe, will be the tipping point for eventual nationwide legalization. If California prohibition falls, the rest of the states will tumble like dominoes. However, if California legalization fails, it could derail or forestall other states' legalization efforts. Now, last week, I detailed the legalization efforts already underway in California and noted that Reform CA, the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, is gearing up to be the best supported and funded effort to legalize in 2016. But I also noted, neutrally, the other six efforts gearing up for legalization, with a short summary of each and a link to its ballot language. Now, some have criticized my article as backing Reform California without yet seeing its unreleased language, and that may be fair. I mean, who knows? They could come out arguing for unlimited possession and cultivation by anyone over the age of 12 with mandatory toking and driving. But knowing the people backing Reform CA, I know that what they'll submit will be sensible, conservative language that will probably allow for amounts similar to what's legal in the other four states now. What I do know will not pass is language that would allow for recreational use of 1.5 pounds or 5 pounds or, as the perennial Jack Herer Initiative, CCHI, proposes, 12 pounds and 99 flowering plants. Of course, whenever I reject CCHI, I am reminded by its zealots that Californians support CCHI by 56%, according to the polls. Yes, the 2013 field poll of the summary of the 2014 CCHI, which didn't ever come close to making the ballot. Let's just look this up, shall we? The top line says, when read a summary of the initiative's official ballot description, 56% say they are inclined to vote yes, while 39% would vote no. Just 5% have no opinion. End quote. And that's what the CCHI defenders are hanging their hat on, is this poll that polled the summary of last election's CCHI, and 56% of the people agreed with it. But the devil is in the details. Let's look at the official ballot description that the pollsters asked Californians about way back in 2013. Quote, a new statewide ballot initiative calls for decriminalizing the possession, use, and cultivation of marijuana in California. Well, right away, the word decriminalizing adds points to your poll because voters perceive that as less allowance than legalizing. It continues, quote, it also would require a case-by-case review of all persons charged with or convicted of nonviolent marijuana offenses for possible sentence modification or release. Okay, so far so good. That's a fair summary of what CCHI would do. And then it continued, quote, fiscal impact. Reduced costs in the low hundreds of millions of dollars annually to state and local governments. Potential net additional tax revenues in the low hundreds of millions of dollars annually related to the production and sale of marijuana. Now, according to a footnote in the poll, quote, approximately half of the voters interviewed were read a summary of the initiative's official description with its fiscal impact statement, while the other half were read a summary without the fiscal impact statement. Okay, so half of the people polled were enticed to support the measure by being told the fiscal impact would be hundreds of millions of dollars. That's also going to boost your numbers. And then it concludes, quote, if the election were being held today and you were voting on this marijuana legalization initiative, would you vote yes or no? End quote. Okay, so what the CCHI people are hanging their hat on here is a poll that asked if people would support decriminalizing marijuana, reviewing nonviolent marijuana offenses, making hundreds of millions of dollars, would you vote yes on that? And 56% said yes. But absolutely no indication in the poll that the legalization they'd be voting for would allow for 12 pounds and 99 plants. Remember, this is just in 2013. Right after Colorado and Washington had legalized a mere ounce and only 3 mature plants in Colorado, no home grow in Washington, both of them with some sort of, well, Washington had a DUI provision and Colorado added one later. And so in that context, we asked a bunch of Californians if they'd like to legalize, and we told half of them it would make hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you assume that perhaps they thought we were talking about a mere ounce and a handful of plants? Or do you suppose they told the pollster, wait a second, ran to the internet, looked up CCHI 2014, saw that it had 12 pounds and 99 plants, and then returned to say yes in a 56% majority? Come on now. Look, if CCHI had any money, they could commission a fair poll that asks, A California initiative for 2016 proposes to legalize marijuana in the amounts of 12 pounds of personal marijuana possession and cultivation of 99 marijuana plants for all adults. Would you vote yes or no? That would be an honest poll question. But they won't even do that, even if they had the money, because they wouldn't like the numbers they get back. Now, I only bring this all up because there is a lot of enthusiasm and effort being put toward CCHI that is also geared up to demonize whatever realistic legalization actually makes the ballot. They'll say idiotic tripe like, passing realistic legalization is prohibition light! Seriously, I get people who react to the proposed legalization of X with, yeah, but people with X plus one will still be busted. Never mind that following the legalization of just an ounce in Washington and Colorado, arrests for all amounts of marijuana declined dramatically, down 63% in Washington state, down 80% in Colorado. Let me restate this. Since legalizing just an ounce, of all people, two out of three people who would have been busted for weed are not in Washington, and four out of five who would have been busted in Colorado are not because of legalizing just an ounce. Or they'll bark, it'll be an Oakland monopoly, it'll be corporate weed, when describing legalization that requires licensing and regulation and taxation. You know, like every other commodity in the United States. In other words, the same kind of circular firing squad they formed in 2010 to help defeat Proposition 19. Medical marijuana profiteers, greedy growers, and the politically naive. Whatever the argument, there's always a reason for stoners against legalization to vote against anything that isn't true legalization. These guys would be the slaves in 1859 calling for immediate emancipation, civil rights, and the election of the first black president, while fighting the other efforts to end slavery because those wouldn't result in true freedom. Look, support whatever legalization you prefer, but don't oppose any legalization that makes the ballot. Progress takes steps. It took Jim Crow to get to the Civil Rights Act. It took a six-day work week to get to paid vacations and a minimum wage. And it took civil unions to get to gay marriage. Prohibition wasn't built in a day, and it won't be ended by a single ballot initiative. And maybe it's just my perspective on this, but to me, what marijuana legalization is all about is ending the power of cops to fuck with us over marijuana. It's pretty simple. Can police upset our day-to-day law-abiding lives over marijuana? And when you legalize even an ounce of marijuana, no matter what the business plan behind it that gets that marijuana to the consumer, as soon as that ounce is legalized, cops have a whole lot less tools in their toolkit to fuck with consumers, to fuck with people. That tool of their drug dog that they can train to alert whenever they want so they can get a nice, easy way around the Fourth Amendment on search and seizure, that drug dog goes away. He's no longer useful for marijuana anymore. The sight of stems and seeds and leaves and other sorts of paraphernalia involved with the production of marijuana, as long as that legalization has home grow in it, that probable cause goes away. And so long as marijuana is legalized, no matter what the business model behind it, you end up ending the arrests of thousands of people. You end the ticketing of thousands of people. You put to an end most of the ability of police to abuse and harass otherwise law-abiding citizens. And that, to me, is the most important factor of legalization. To me, this is a civil rights battle. And to me, civil rights outweigh whatever the business plan is behind it. I would support government weed like Uruguay. I would support collective weed like Spain. I would support limited retail like the Netherlands. I would support grow and give like Washington, D.C. The business angles can always be fixed in the future, but they're a whole lot easier to fix when you have consumers who can vote for it instead of criminals in prison. That's all the time we got for hour one. Thanks, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you